Good evening. It is good to see everyone that is out this evening. It's good that you have seen fit in your own life to come together and to spend more time with one another as we study from the Word of God. As we continue our study from this morning, I would encourage you, if you were not able to be here this morning, to either go online or get a CD or whatever it would be that would work for you to listen to the lesson so that you can hear the whole thing, because this is something that not only do we need to watch out for in our own lives, but we need to encourage others to watch out in their lives as well. And we need to know how to respond when those around us begin to take part in gossip and the things that we talked about beginning this morning. We looked in several passages of Scripture this morning, first beginning looking in James chapter 3. There's the author James is writing about the tongue and comparing it to the rudder of a ship, how you've got this huge ship and this little tiny rudder, and that little tiny rudder is able to guide that ship throughout all of the ocean and anywhere that the pilot desires to go. He also compared it to the bridle, that even though you have this big brute of an animal, this great big warrior horse type idea, and that you can take that horse and with that little small bit there, that bridle, you can guide that horse wherever you want to go. He talked about how all of the world, all of the animals of creation have been tamed. And we think of some of the animals of creation, the grizzly bears and the polar bears and all these animals. And he says all of these have and can be and have been tamed, but no man can tame the tongue. With that passage of Scripture alone, we can see that the tongue is something that we need to watch more closely than anything else. We need to be careful because it's so easy to say things that we should not be saying or to take part in a conversation that perhaps we would be better not taking part in. And so we began looking at gossip. And we noted that Merriam-Webster defined gossip as a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts about others, a rumor or report of an intimate nature, chatty talk, the subject matter of gossip. We noted that it also had to do with the idea of the person who was taking part in these things. And when we looked at Scriptures, we noted several Scriptures throughout the book of the Psalms, throughout the book of Proverbs, that encourage us not to take part in talebearing and slander in gossip. We noted the Apostle Paul used the term gossip in Romans chapter 1. As he was writing of those who had been turned over to a debased mind that had rejected God, and God had allowed them to be turned over to a depraved mind, and part of that depraved mind was gossip. And so I don't think anyone wants to be among the list of those that Paul gives in Romans chapter 1, the idea of one who is unrighteous, wicked, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slanderous. None of us want to be part of that. And we need to understand that if we are going to be children of God, we must avoid not only those things. We understand, well, okay, we've got to avoid hatred and wickedness and evil and murder. And I understand that. But we've got to avoid gossip as well. And so as we continue our lesson this evening, I want us to continue by looking at the next point in our lesson where we can see that Christians are to build one another up, not tear one another down. What we need to understand is that gossip tears down. Gossip does nothing to build. Gossip does not help in any way in building up one another. But as Christians, we are those that are to build one another up. If you look in Ephesians chapter 4, in Ephesians chapter 4, there in verse 29, as the Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians there in Ephesus, a congregation he had a very close relationship with. You'll remember during his missionary journeys, he spent 3 years working there with the congregation in Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, there in verse 29, as he writes to them, he says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." Now, when we look at this and we think back to all the passages that we read in the book of Proverbs and in the book of Psalms and the words that Moses gave the Israelites there in the book of Leviticus and the encouragement that Paul gave to the congregations that he wrote to and Peter and John, you remember all those things we read this morning about gossip? Now, how many of those things about gossip fit in this? All those things that we read about gossip, it's not helping anyone. It's not doing any good. It's slander. It's a talebearer. It's those that are proponents of falsehoods. But he says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification." If what we're saying to one another is not going to help build one another up, Paul is saying you're better off not saying anything. We could learn that as Christians, oftentimes we're better off keeping our mouth shut.
Amen.
We need to be careful with how we go about in our lives. We need to be watchful. That's why James says, watch the tongue. It's a fire. And look at how small of a spark starts a forest fire. How many times have we seen out west in California and in other western states where a forest fire was begun with just a cigarette being flicked out of a window? How many times have we, maybe as little boys, we might have been a little bit more prone to this than the little girls. We'd sit there, we got our first magnifying glass, and we'd go and we'd find a leaf, and we'd sit there with the sun, and we'd learn the wonders of the magnification power of magnifying the rays of the sun and starting a fire, and then, whoa, it takes off a little too fast, and we're trying to get it out. Just that little small beam. And James says, that's the tongue. And Paul says, be careful what proceeds from your mouth. Make sure that the things that proceed from your mouth are edifying to one another. Things that will give grace to those who hear. Folks, we need to be careful of what we say about one another. We need to be careful about how we talk to one another, how we talk to others about one another. When we look in Galatians chapter 5, there's the Apostle Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia. You remember those churches that he established in his first missionary journey? There in Galatians chapter 5 in verse 15, he tells the Christians there, he says, "You, if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another." This congregation understands, or should understand firsthand, the power of gossip. You understand these things. If you don't, I worry about you because you've endured these things. You've suffered at the hand of these things. Let's make sure that it doesn't happen again. Let's make sure that we don't find ourselves guilty of biting and devouring one another, consuming one another to where the church becomes destroyed. Gossip tears each other down. And so we need to ask ourselves, would we want this said about us before we go and talk to others about someone? You see, we also need to understand that when someone is gossiping there around us, we should politely leave, not take part. There are some things that we need to understand, some principles that we find throughout the Scriptures that tell us that we should not be taking part with those that are gossiping. There's nothing wrong with when someone, "Did you hear about so-and-so?" "No, and I'd rather not. Thank you." And walk away. You've just let them know, "I will not take part in what you're doing, and I don't think you should be doing what you're doing." Look with me, if you would, in 2 John. In 2 John, John is writing there in chapter 1, there in verse 11. As we look there in 2 John, he's writing about false teachers, and he's talking about, you know, inviting them in and giving them essentially your blessing. He says there in 2 John there in verse 11, "For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds." Now understand that John is giving warnings about partaking in false teaching just by greeting them. But would he really think no less of gossip? By saying, "Oh really?" When someone starts to gossip, go, "No, I haven't. Tell me all about it." You're taking part. "Oh, but I'm not saying anything. I'm not going to repeat these things." You're encouraging the act. You remember what we read over in the book of Proverbs earlier this morning in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. The wise man wrote, "He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip." And John is here telling us this in his second epistle, that by greeting them, by encouraging them, by listening to them, we're taking part in their evil deeds. And so we as Christians need to understand that when someone begins to gossip around us, even if it's a group of individuals, we need to go, "I'm sorry, I need to go." That's a wonderful example to have set before people. But you hear sometimes, what if it's true? If it's true, does that mean that it's still gossip? You know, I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying about someone. I'm not spreading rumors. I'm speaking the truth about them. Well, let's think about a couple of things. First of all, if it is a sin in their lives, we should be going to them and gently rebuking them. We shouldn't be going to anyone else We shouldn't be talking to anyone else about the sin. Even if we know it to be a fact, if we know that we saw them out at the bar Friday night, and we saw them go in, and we saw them through the window take a drink, if we saw them acting in an improper way, we shouldn't go off and talk to other people about it. We should go and talk to them. Going back to the book of Galatians there, as you look in Galatians chapter 6, there the Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted." Now, you show me anywhere in there where it talks about going and talking to everyone else before you restore that one to its state. You can't find it. The only time you find throughout the Scriptures where someone is guilty of going and talking to other people before talking to the guilty party is when they're talking about gossip, slander, backbiting, devouring. When someone comes to us and says, "I heard this about so-and-so. Do you know if it's true?" We should go, "I don't know. Let's go ask them. Let's go talk to them. Let's confront them on this matter." Folks, we need to understand souls are at stake. And if we go about gossiping, not only is the soul of the one who's sinning at stake, but our soul becomes at stake by going around and talking to others about it. Even if it's true, we have a responsibility to our brothers and sisters in Christ to go and to restore that one in a spirit of gentleness. Well, how do we go about restoring that? Well, I think Jesus covers that in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, we have there Jesus' instruction and what we are to do when a brother is at fault, when a brother or sister in Christ is in error. In Matthew chapter 18, there in verse 15, he says, "If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector." Now let's take just a moment and look at what Jesus is saying. If your brother sins, now you're going to look and see in the King James Version, it's going to have, "against you" is a phrase that is used there. If you'll note in your King James Version, it's italicized. Now a lot of individuals don't realize what those italics mean in your translations. Those italics mean that those words are added by the translators. Those words are not found in the original Greek. That's what the translators understood that passage to mean, and they added in those words that they felt were necessary in the Greek language. So when you see that phrase, "against you," it's not there. It's not just not there in early manuscripts, it's not there. It's a translation that really comes into a little bit more of a commentary than a translation. And so, when we look at these things, let's look at what is actually being written there. If your brother sins, that's it. It doesn't matter if he sinned against you. It doesn't matter if he sinned against somebody else that you know. If he sins, go to him. Period. That's what Jesus is saying. When someone comes and tells you about a sin, you still have a responsibility to go to that individual and talk to them. I want to say this very clearly. If you go and talk to anyone else about that sin, you're committing the sin of gossip. Period. If you go and talk to others before you go and talk to them, you're failing in a command that Jesus Christ set forth. Now, what happens to those who fail in the command that Jesus Christ has set forth? His word is that which will judge us in the last day, is it not? If we fail to keep His word, we don't get to go to heaven. So, right there at the beginning, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault. Look at that last, those next two words. In what? I dare you to find a translation that reads "in public," around others. What does it say? In private. When I know of a brother being at fault, brother or sister in Christ being at fault, I have a responsibility to go and talk to them in private. Then, if he does not listen to you, Jesus said, take one or two more with you. For what reason? So that you can take them in and have a conspiracy? No. For the sole reason that so by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. Now you remember from our studies in the Old Testament that the accusations that the Jews could bring, it wasn't to sit on the witness of one. If I saw Ken and I was a Jew and he was a Jew and he was committing some kind of a sin, I couldn't go and tell the elders of the city anything about it because I didn't have any witnesses. But if Dan and I, or Nathan and I, or Nathan Dan and I saw these things, then we could carry it before. It's exactly what Jesus is saying. If he refuses to listen to you, then you go find two or three others, one or two more, so that you can go and talk to him in private again. Then, if he refuses to listen to them, then you tell it to the church, not to the city, not to all of your friends. You tell it to the congregation where you attend, where he attends. That's what Jesus is setting forth here. That's how things are to be done. If we follow the commands of Jesus, we're not committing the sin of gossip. If we go astray in any one point where we talk to others about this, or we go and bring others first, then we are committing the sin of gossip. If we don't think it is important enough to save their soul, then it's not important enough to talk about, period. If we feel that the sin that we think that they've committed is not important enough for us to go and to talk to them one-on-one and say, I know that you sin. I believe that you're committing sin. If we don't think it's worth that, then it's not worth discussion, period. Anything beyond that is gossip. If it's not a sin, shut up! You can't get more plain than that. If they are not committing a sin, you have no right to speak of these things. You have no need, because we are to be building one another up, not tearing one another down. That's what we read throughout the Scriptures. Now, I do want to make a quick point that not all speaking of others is gossip. When Paula gave birth after 2 days, when we began spreading the word, little Lydia's in the world, Paula and the baby are fine. We were following along with what the Scriptures say there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 15 where it says, rejoice with those who rejoice. That's not gossip. Now, if Paula had said, okay, we really don't want everybody to know just yet, and I went off and said, the name's Lydia. You know, they kept that name to themselves. They didn't tell anybody. And what if they would have come to me and said, Ken just broke down, I just can't keep it to myself anymore. I got to tell you, I got to tell somebody, the name's Lydia. I'd be happy to know. But if I went off and told anybody else, that would be gossip. And folks, that's what we need to understand. We as Christians, we are to rejoice with those who rejoice. And we can take joy in things. We should always, however, question ourselves whether what we say should be said or not. We should examine our motives for speaking. Is it with the intention to raise or lower others' opinions of this brother or sister in Christ or the person of the world that we're talking of? Remember, we as Christians should seek to build up each other, not tear one another down. We also need to ask ourselves, just real quickly, and then we're going to look at a series of questions put together by a couple of brethren to help you decide if what you're thinking about talking about is gossip. But first and foremost, quick question, would you say it to their face? If you wouldn't say it to their face, then you can know it's gossip. And a lot of times what people would say to others' faces, they should not be saying as Christians, period. Oh, I'd say it to their face. Well, no, you probably shouldn't, because that's not being Christ-like in how you're speaking. So let's look at the remaining points of our lesson. We see here in Matthew chapter 18 that Jesus speaks of, as he continues this thought of going to our brother or sister who is in fault and encouraging them to return. He goes on and he gives the example of the landowner, the Lord, and his servants. And he was settling accounts, and he brought one to him, and he owed a lot, and he said, Lord, I don't have it, please, can you just give me time and I'll pay you everything? And the Lord said, okay, just go on, I'll forgive your whole debt. And this slave goes out and he finds a slave that owes him just a paltry amount. And the slave, his fellow slave, says to him, just give me time, just be patient with me and I'll pay you everything. And his fellow slave wouldn't hear it, and he had him put to the torturers. Had him thrown into prison. And we see there in verse 32 that the Lord summoned the slave, the first slave, that had been forgiven a large debt. He says in verse 32, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" And his Lord, moved with anger. Remember earlier, he was moved with mercy. Moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." This goes along. When we go to them, and we talk to them, and they seek forgiveness of their sins, we need to readily be willing to forgive them. Now, to close out our lesson, when does my speech condemn me? When does my speech condemn you? The following is a list of questions that were put together by David Riggs, who has passed away, and I believe the other guy is John Cripps. And it's a series of questions they put together, and I thought they would be helpful for us to look at quickly and to see perhaps some things that we can think about as we're beginning to speak. The first one we want to look at is, will I help or hurt the person's character by repeating this information? If you answer no to any of these questions, shut up. Don't speak. It's better to remain silent. Okay? Would it be better left untold, even if true? Is it going to hurt anything? Once again, if it's not a sin, shut up. Leave it alone. There's no point in talking about it. If their soul is not in danger, it's not worthy of our speaking of. We need to ask, will anyone be edified if I repeat this information? Once again, what are we to do as Christians? Edify one another. Build one another up, not tear one another down. Is this going to help or is this going to hurt? Proverbs 11, there in verse 13, once again we see in the wisdom of Solomon, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. We need to be those as Christians who are trustworthy, who are able to keep the things that are committed to us. What is my motive for telling it? Generally, the motive in gossip is to one-up. I heard about so-and-so. Well, that's nothing. You ought to hear what I heard about this person. Oh, you think that's bad? Wait till you hear what I heard. Once again, it's not just the women, guys. The men are just as guilty of these things. What's my motive? If my motive is not to build up someone, if my motive is not to help someone, shut up. I know we teach our kids not to say shut up, but you know there's a time where we need to be strong with ourselves and say, shut up. Quit talking. It's not worthy of our speech. We need to ask ourselves, am I really seeking to build or destroy, to hurt or to heal? Will I cause unnecessary suspicion to surround the person by repeating the information? Now, when we look at this question, we can see that it's someone who has not gone to the source to find out if it's true or not. But we need to ask, is this going to help or is this going to hurt? The psalmist wrote in Psalm 101 in verse 5, "Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I..." Who's that I there? Dan, who do you reckon that I is? Right on. God will destroy. Folks, we need to be careful with these things. If I say these things and it arouses suspicion, we need to remember an old saying that says you can never build yourself up by tearing others down. Just because you make someone else look bad doesn't mean that you don't look worse. Taking part in the sin of gossip reduces you so far. We need to also ask, is the information true? Is there any basis for it? Is it reality? Is it rumor? Is it innuendo? We need to ask ourselves, will anyone be made better by telling it? We need to ask ourselves, is the information about something which has been repented of? Did you hear about so-and-so? He went forward. Okay, then we're done with that. It's through. It's gone. Remember, in the past couple of weeks, we studied about forgiving as God has forgiven us. Who cares if he's done it 17 times? If he's repented of it, It's done. It's removed. It's gone.
Amen.
If it's repented of, shut up. Will I help the one who is spreading the rumor by receiving what he is telling? Once again, this is sitting there. We're taking part in their evil deeds. We're taking part in their gossip, and we are just as guilty by sitting there listening. Oh, I don't gossip. I listen every now and then, but I don't... Yes, well, I'm sorry, you do. Too many of us are like the old hee-haw. Let's see if I can remember. Oh, we don't go around spreading rumors. We just say it the one time. So you better listen close. That's not exactly how it goes, but that's the idea. I don't want to sing it, and that's the only way I could really remember it. Just repeating something one time, folks, is gossip. We are encouraging others to continue to spread the rumors if we listen to them. We need to ask ourselves, do I want to be an accessory to the commission of a sin against another by receiving information which I should not be privy to? When someone opens a conversation with, I probably shouldn't be telling you this, that's when you go, no, you shouldn't. Now stop, please. Don't say another word. When a conversation begins with that phrase, it's gossip, folks. And by listening to them, we're encouraging them, and we're an accessory to the fact. We're aiding and abetting. Listening is just as wrong as speaking. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, there in verse 22, the Apostle Paul says, "Do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily, and thereby share responsibility for the sins of others." Just because a brother says something to you and says, we need to go and talk to this individual, or we need to go and speak about this individual, does not mean we need to jump on the bandwagon. We need to go, wait, let's hold up. Jesus said one of us needs to go and talk to him and verify the matter, check things out. Then we'll gather a couple of others. Closes that thought there by saying, keep yourself free from sin. We need to remember that there are always two sides to every controversy. But this nation is guilty of being one-sided. My side. I don't care what your side thinks. It's my side, what I think, what I agree with. No, we need to listen to the whole story, no matter what it is. We need to ask ourselves, will I feel better towards the one being talked about by hearing the things being spread by gospel? In other words, is this going to change my relationship to this individual? Is this going to change how I feel about them? Maybe we shouldn't listen to these things. Am I assisting in strengthening the character of one whom I allow gossip, whom I allow to gossip about others? You're not strengthening them. You're encouraging them in wickedness. You're encouraging them in sin. And once again, I can't say this enough. By listening, you're taking part in it. You're not encouraging. You're not strengthening. You're sinning. You need to ask yourself, can I in good conscience, or can I truly say that I am a friend of one whom I receive information about the wrongdoing of another? Can you truly say, honestly say that you're a friend of someone that you're gossiping about? Honestly? No. When you gossip about someone, you are not their friend. Period. You're their enemy, and you're an enemy of Christ. When I hear about the wrongdoing of another, am I not obligated to go to that person? Well, that's what Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 18. If a brother sins, go talk to him. He didn't have to say, if a brother sins against you. He didn't have to say, if someone says that a brother's in sin. He just said, if a brother sins. In other words, if you're aware of the sin of someone else, no matter how you gain that information, if a brother sins, go talk to him. Once again, we look in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. We need to ask ourselves, do not I do much evil by, instead of going to that person, beginning to mention his wrongdoing to others? Well, sure. You're committing sin. You're spreading slander, possibly. You're spreading dissension. You're spreading strife. You're causing the church to bite and devour one another. Now, if that's not sinning, if that's not much evil, I don't know what is, because one of the things the Lord hates is those who cause division amongst the brotherhood. Folks, we need to be careful in our speech. That's why James was so very clear in saying you've got to guard your tongue. You've got to muzzle it. I think as Christians we would be doing good to have a muzzle on our tongue, a spiritual muzzle. Sometimes it might not be bad if we just go ahead and buy a real one. If we can't control our tongue, then go get your jaws wired together. Just like Jesus said, it's better to enter into heaven without a hand. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your mouth causes you to sin, close it up. It's better to get into heaven with your jaw wired together than to spend all eternity in hell with flapping gums. Folks, we need to understand the tongue is a danger. We need to ask ourselves, am I not responsible for the unfaithfulness of others when they have been hardened through my spreading unfounded charges about them or by listening to others who do it? How many congregations have been destroyed by unfounded charges? How many gospel preachers have lost their jobs by brethren speaking of them about things that are not true or that the facts were not truly found out? This congregation knows firsthand. But it goes beyond here. Let's make sure that we're not guilty of these things. Let's make sure that we're not going to be held accountable for these things. How many people have left active service to Christ because of unfounded charges and allegations made and received by others? How many times have you talked to someone and they go, well, they're just a bunch of hypocrites. All they do is talk about each other. Well, that may be true. That may be true. But by leaving the Lord's church, you are going to spend eternity in hell with those very hypocrites that you didn't want to be around.
Amen.
Folks, we need to understand these things. We never need to be the one that causes a brother or sister to stumble. Remember, the Lord said, it's better for one to take a millstone. You ever seen the size of a millstone? I doubt very seriously if all the men got together, we could do very good at lifting a lot of the size millstones that there are. All of us together. Jesus said it's better for you to tie a millstone around your neck and be cast into the sea than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. If we cause someone to leave the church through gossip, folks, we're going to face judgment for that. We're going to face judgment. Jesus is going to hold us accountable for those things. I hope and pray that everyone present this morning and this evening has taken what I've had to say to heart. Understand that I am not pointing fingers at anyone. Because as the old saying goes, when I point a finger at you, three are pointing back at me. We're all guilty from time to time, speaking of things that we should not. Folks, we need to be careful in how we speak to one another. We need to understand the power of the tongue. The power to praise God and the power to do evil. Great evil. We need to make sure that we are never guilty or remain guilty of a sin. If we gossip, how's that phrase go? The apple never falls far from the tree. Let me tell you something. If you find that your children are guilty of gossip, guess who they probably learned it from? They learned it from you. We learn by the example of our parents. And so parents, we need to be careful that we are not guilty of the sin of gossip and that we discourage our children when they are guilty of gossip. That we tell them, those things ought not to be. We should not take part in those things. As we can see from the illustrations of the world, the next generation always carries it a step further. What was it back in the, 50s? When Lucy and Ricky... weren't they the first ones that were in a bed together? And you see how we've progressed where there's not even a bed, it's a car, motorcycle, street lamp. Doesn't matter. The things that we do in this generation, the next generation carries further. If we're guilty of the sin of gossip, trust me, the next generation is going to be even more guilty. We need to make sure that we are not a part of those that commit the sin of gossip. Perhaps you're here this evening. Perhaps you listened to the lesson this morning and maybe I pricked your heart just a little bit, but it's not fully cut. Folks, understand, right now is the day to be saved. Okay? There's no guarantee of tomorrow. There's no guarantee of next week. There's no guarantee of, well, I'll settle it later. No, you'll settle it right now. Because when you walk out that door this evening, you are either a servant of God or a servant of the devil. One or the other. That's your choice. There's no in-between. There's no Switzerland when it comes to our spiritual life. If you're guilty of gossip, repent of it. As I said this morning, and I'm still convinced, I don't see how gossip can be a private sin. Gossip takes place in a public way. Gossip, by its very nature, is spreading rumors to other people. So it has to be of a public nature. You can't commit it in the privacy of your own home. You can't commit it in your mind. If you're guilty of the sin of gossip, it must be repented of. Must be. Or you will be facing the everlasting fires of punishment in hell. But perhaps you're here this evening and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you've never come forward and confessed your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repented of your sins and been buried in baptism, then your soul is in danger. And as God loves your soul, Jesus loves your soul, we love your soul. And we encourage you that if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that you come forward and confess that belief, repent of your sins, be buried in baptism, following the footsteps of Jesus Christ, of His apostles, of the Apostle Paul. When Ananias, as I said this morning, came to Paul and said, "Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins." You can't have your sins washed away without baptism. If you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, you still remain in them. No matter how much you repent of them, they're still there. You're dragging them along behind you. You may not be committing them anymore, but they're still there. They're weighing you down. Heed the words of the author of Hebrews. Lay aside the sin that doth so easily beset us, and run the race that is set before us. Lay it aside by being buried in baptism, confessing your belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, arising a new creature. Today, folks, is the day of salvation. 2,000 years ago, they were waiting for the Lord to return. They were anxiously looking forward, 1,900 years ago, anxiously looking forward to the return of the Lord. We're 1,900 years closer. They expect Him any day. Should we not expect Him today? Live every day as if it's your last. If you're not prepared to meet the Lord and Savior, make your preparations right now as we stand and as we sing.